Few people realize that many American founders were devoutly Christian. People such as George Washington, John Adams, they knew that God was important to the founding of the country and to its future. We saw the results of a church that united in prayer, a church that understood this went into the spiritual realm, and this is where we won the battle.
When the gospel was brought to America, there were principalities that were operating in authority. And I'm wondering if some of those spirits are reemerging, are trying to fight back.
We need to be in Congress. We need to be in the Senate. We need to come to these areas, because this is where we're going to transform our nation and bring in the laws that protect our civil and our religious liberties.
Welcome back to ISO Insights. I'm your host, Matthew Foley, and today we have a guest that's well known to ISO, Marcia Castillo. Welcome on.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm very excited. I know Marcia and her husband, Eddie, very well. My wife and I know them. We visited them before. We're very good friends, and they're a joy to know. Marcia has her own podcast. I wanted you to introduce that and tell the audience a little bit about it.
Yeah, my podcast is primarily in Spanish, and it follows the same format that we have with ISO. We came to ISO asking for the ability to translate all the English courses to Spanish. You know, the Hispanic community needs to be involved and receive all the wealth of information that the Lord has granted the ISO teachers. And so with the podcast, I feel it's the same essence, so to speak. Whatever is being said and taught in the English community, then we reintroduce it in Spanish. And that's how Enfoque, which means focus, is born.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, although I don't fluently speak, I only say un poquito de español. I don't speak much, but I'll tell you what, I'd love to learn more. And I've seen their graphics, I've seen their videos and their subjects. I think you as an audience, if you speak Spanish, you're going to find it very interesting. I totally support it. And they're also, Marcia and her husband, the vice presidents of ISO Español. So do check that out. I'll give you a link for you to be able to check it out, both her podcast and ISO Espanol. So, talking about that, I'll give a disclaimer real quick for those watching this episode. We're going to be diving into things that are on the deeper end of spiritual warfare, some of these subjects, and we're going to finish, of course, with a victory, a spirit of victory and encouragement, because that's what Christ brings us. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So, we walk as overcomers, but I did want to say some of the things we'll be presenting here are not universally held across believers, spirit-filled believers, and even ISO teachers may not all agree with this. So these views are not all of them representative for ISO, but we're going to dive into some interesting things. I think you'll find it very helpful today. So what I've asked Pastor Marcia to talk about with me today is the subject of America and the spiritual battle that's ensuing, America's destiny. So, Pastor Marcia, what are some of the things in your own prayer time, in your own study of Scripture and the history of the America, the United States, that you would say are cornerstones and main things in the eyes of God for our nation to be focused on, our spiritual future?
America and their founding fathers loved the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That is the cornerstone of our nation. They came to this country looking for religious liberties. Okay. But I think we've misunderstood what that means. And for example, one of the things that I was talking to you about was the separation of church and state, and how today people talk about this separation of church and state, keeping Christianity and prayer out of schools, keeping Christianity out of the government and the marketplace. But I think we can agree that the results of doing that have been disastrous. With regards to the elections, I think America as a whole had a huge victory. But this is not just a affiliation or a party victory, the Democrats or the Republicans. We're talking about a spiritual battle. And I think that's something that we cannot, you know, lose sight of. Few people realize that many American founders, America's founders, were devoutly Christian. people such as George Washington, John Adams, they knew that God was important to the founding of the country and to its future. And not only did they base their decisions on biblical principle, but they staked the future of the United States on its citizens. Do you agree with that?
They repeated, even those that were resistant to the supernatural in scripture, Thomas Jefferson, he resisted. He wanted to remove a lot of the supernatural components because of enlightenment. But even at that time, if they were deists or they had a view about God where they wanted to back off of the supernatural, the vast majority, 95% of the founding fathers all believed in the Christian God, all believed that the Bible was the perfect moral document. And Benjamin Franklin, who wasn't very religious for most of his life, some people believe he might have gotten saved before he died, he said that as long as we can maintain a biblical standard and worldview for all of our citizens, we could keep the republic.
I'm going to quote something he said when he called the delegates to prayer at the Constitutional Convention. He said, and I quote, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men." I love that.
Wow.
"And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid?" Wow. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that.
And then we have Benjamin Rush, a signer of the Declaration of Independence. And he said, "I have alternately been called an aristocrat and a Democrat." And he said, "I am neither. I am a Christocrat."
Wow. I love that.
I like that. I like that a lot. So we see that although we have religious liberties in our nation, if you choose a different religion, a different way of expressing your love for the Lord, that is allowed within our Constitution. The cornerstone is Christianity.
I agree. Yeah.
And I think that the enemy has done a really good job at confusing people, at bringing the pulpits to be silent, not teaching the word of God properly, teaching about the separation of church and state and not being active in the marketplace. And I think that's a huge mistake. I think with this election, we saw the results of a church that united in prayer, a church that understood that this was not just a political party situation. This was a lot deeper. This went into the spiritual realm, and this is where we won the battle. Do you agree with that?
I 100% agree. I remember listening to a video from the Donald Trump YouTube page about, it was a podcast campaign video, not a podcast video. We're just doing this. That's why I said that. But it's a YouTube video. And in the video, one of the things that he quotes, and this is not to raise up any individual man, but it's still, you have to admit when you listen to the overall feeling of the campaign, when they're bringing all kinds of different people that don't fully agree on everything together. But, RFK Jr., he said, after he appealed and appealed and appealed because he saw corruption with Big Pharma and all these things going on, he saw what it is corruption, wicked people doing things that aren't good for American public, for the American public and our health and our foods, drugs being more about money than people getting healthy, these kind of things. Well, this is corruption. And none of his party was helping him. So he said he's Catholic. He got on his knees, he said, since 2005. And he said, I began to pray every night, "God, please put me in a position to where I'm able to transform the health in this nation." So you hear somebody appealing to God saying, "God, please hear my cry." And then you hear Donald Trump on his video saying, "God spared my life for a reason."
Oh,
and
yes.
Appealing to God and saying, with every breath left in my body, I will fight for you. And you can feel that same spirit that the founders had, that fervence, like we're going to cry out to God.
And then you hear a Kamala Harris, you hear her say, I think you're in the wrong rally when someone said, "Jesus is Lord." And it was like, oh my word, what is she doing?
I know.
this was entirely spiritual. And I think that the church was amazed, at least I was amazed, because we have a lot of disinformation going on through social media, through the news outlets. And you think that what they're telling you is true. But then when that map started turning red in every state, I was like, oh my Lord, what is happening? Something marvelous is happening in America, and people have woken up and people have been praying. And look, I have this Joseph story, a justice to the Supreme Court. He said the following: there is not a truth to be gathered from history more certain, more momentous than this, that civil liberty cannot long be separated from religious liberty without danger. Wow. And ultimately, without destruction of both. Whether religious liberty exists, it will first or last bring in and establish political liberty. And I think it's time for us to understand that we need to start invading, occupied till I come, right? School boards.
Yep.
We need to come to the House of Representatives. We need to be in Congress. We need to be in the Senate. We need to come to these areas, because this is where we're going to transform our nation and bring in the laws that protect our civil and our religious liberties.
Absolutely. We were all, especially around 2020, I'll tell you where I was at. I was saying, God, what do the American people believe? Because what direction do the majority really want to go in? And that was the conversation I know for Christians when it came to if there's voter fraud. It's possible most of Americans don't want what's happening. But if this is really, if this is legitimate and this is a part of what the public wanted, then God in heaven has the right to judge America. That's strong language, but that's the case. If you have most people that are turning against the Lord, what else can he do? But what we had here, I really believe, and I do think it was the church praying and crying out to God.
Yeah.
I think that it was revealed to America in the last 4 years, what direction, where we were going and what it would lead to if we kept on going down that left-leaning path.
I remember listening to your podcast with Pastor Mark Biltz. I then had him in one of my podcasts, and he said a key word. And I remember the moment I finished my session with him, I called the intercessors in my church and I said, this is what we're going to pray until we hear what the election results will be. He used the word reprieve. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
America needs a reprieve. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, Matthew. I was like, yes, that's what we need to pray for, because we've seen America kind of like, you know, turn in the opposite direction. And we really need to pray. We need to wholeheartedly seek the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And I think, I really believe that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is responsible for what happened. We cried out to him. We prayed. Amen. We got together. And you said something earlier, very interesting. We are never going to agree on everything.
Yeah.
We need to come together in one thing and one thing only, and that is that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we recognize him as King and we respect him and worship him as such. The rest we can work out later. But that's the one thing where he's the Son of God, came to die for my sin, died, resurrected on the third day, and he is coming back. That is the absolute truth in which we all need to stand and agree on. At least that's the way that I see it.
Amen. I agree. And I think what I can say is at the beginning of our nation, among the leaders, we had strong Christians, strong, and there was no shame in being a Christian. It was the common thing.
That's right.
The Western world was Christian. Britain was Christian, and it used to be Catholic, and it broke off and became Anglican. And then the colonies wanted to break off and be like, well, everybody should be able to read their own Bible. And that was what religious freedom originally was. It was everyone should pursue their faith in the way they feel like is most biblical. That's what the whole undergirding idea of the founding fathers were. And we didn't we didn't have planes and trains and boats.
And automobiles.
So different people from different parts of the world, it took longer for other religions to find their way to the United States. But I think what it is now, the ground for revival, because what we were up against was a complete deletion of the authority of Christianity in America. That's where we were headed. And now we've got a space and an opportunity to preach the gospel and for Christians to be put in positions of authority to push forward Jesus's name.
Public education and Christianity were seen back then when America was founded, seen and understood as working together and not conflicting. That's no longer the case. And I think the reason is that we started coming up with all these laws, and this is where what's happening with the Supreme Court is so critical. We need to pray. We need to cover the Supreme Court with prayer. Yeah. They were legalizing lawlessness. Okay. They were coming up with all these laws, and we see this in the Word. They were coming up with all these laws to appease their conscience and say, look, it's a law. It's doable. We can do it. We can go ahead and have abortion. Mm-hmm. We can talk to preschoolers and kindergartners about transgenderism without the consent of the parents, which is, in my opinion, insane. There's all these things that they were coming up with. And I think America pushed back and said, you know what? I don't want this. I don't want what you're spoon feeding me. Mm-hmm. I want to be free to choose. And that was not happening. And let's face it, the Democrats ran their campaign based on abortion laws, based on transgenderism, based on their equality. And there's, I understand that Donald Trump needs to be a president for the people who want to have abortions and the people who want to become transgender and all of that. But there has to be a line drawn where our civil and religious liberties are not stepped on. I think that's what was happening.
Yeah, I agree. I think that what it was we had to get far enough so that parents could finally see this isn't just about them wanting adults who can have homosexual marriages. This isn't just about a few people that are put in a really bad circumstance, having an abortion, a small minority. No, no. This is about on a federal level, universally, them being able to influence your children, your families, put books in school that are full of perversion for your kids to read and have domination over your life and your worldview. And when people grabbed a hold of that and they realized this is where this agenda is going, it's lawlessness, it's godlessness, it's perversion. There's been a huge, I think the transgender issue, the fact that Trump took a strong stand and said, we'll make male and female legal definitions of gender. We'll make there be two legally and you can't change it. And that was saying, we're going to choose righteousness and sanity over this godlessness that's being pushed. And people responded.
I agree. And look at how hypocritical. They've always been advocating for the separation of church and state. But all these laws, when you look at it carefully, it's like colliding, okay? It collides with the spiritual realm. Why would I need to teach my children about transgenderism or abortion or, teaching them about sex and all these things? Why would I have to? It's like there's something here that's operating, and sometimes we don't pay attention to what's really happening. We are in this physical realm and we don't understand that there's a whole new world, a whole dimension behind all of this that's moving on the earth. And we need to pay attention to it because it really wants our destruction. What does John 10:10 say? The enemy came to what?
Kill, steal, and destroy.
To steal, to rob, to destroy. And I came to give you life and life eternal.
Hallelujah.
So, there's a huge distinction here. It's like the two realms are moving in opposite directions. And we need to realize when we see all these things happening, we need to be able to say, wait a minute, this is not about a political party. This is a lot deeper than that. And which realm do I belong to? Which kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And if I believe and I am living in the kingdom of Jesus, in the kingdom of righteousness in the kingdom of light, then I cannot support any of those things. And I need to be able to have enough righteous indignation to stand up and say, no.
Yep. No more. No more. I think two things that I'll put it this way, and we'll go with wherever you've prepared a lot of great notes, I know, on this, and we'll go whatever direction you wanted to continue. I know we're headed this direction as well, so I'm throwing this in the hat, but I'm throwing the hat in the ring. There we go. So America, we have these principalities, and even in Israel, God said to the Jewish people initially, the nation of Israel, when they entered Canaan, drive out the nations that sacrifice their children. Drive out the nations that practice these certain wicked practices, homosexuality, like male cult prostitution. That was a part of it. He said, drive them out. Anyone who sacrifices their children to Baal and Molech, drive them out before you. So there was this strong standard God set. And then he said, you need to stamp it out whenever it appears in your midst. So one of the powerful things about the gospel, whenever it spread, you know, I know before Christianity and the Protestant Reformation happened, and the church was just like one entity pretty much, or right before the Great Schism in 1054, Eastern and Western Church broke off. When the church was one entity, you had, of course, different people that practiced prayer to the saints, but I find there were always groups that had a fervency and a real relationship with the Lord, and that would study the scripture and have powerful encounters. Why I'm mentioning that is, even when St. Patrick, who was in Ireland, came in, the historical records say he preached a pure gospel, preached the Trinity, preached the power of God, and then he drove out the paganism in Ireland because they had all kinds of weird Druid mysticism. Mm-hmm. There's a saying in Ireland to this day, St. Patrick drove out all the snakes from the land of Ireland. There are no actual snakes. There are no snakes that have a habitat in Ireland. But whenever I saw that, I was like, that's a spiritual claim. They're saying that when the gospel was preached in Ireland, when it was first preached there, and St. Patrick raised people from the dead, people were healed, demons were cast out, that pure gospel caused the principalities, the pagan powers in the spirit that ruled over that land to be cast out. And I believe that when the gospel was brought to America, there were principalities that were operating in authority and pagan religions that had a clinch hold on the spirit of the people on the land, and they were driven out before them. And I'm wondering if some of those spirits are reemerging, are trying to fight back through liberalism in the United States, honestly, like this kind of moral, these strange moral claims like transgenderism and people you feel compassion for them because it's like they're confused, but the aggression and the force that they're pushing to get their way, I can't think it's anything but demonic, honestly.
I don't mean to jump into this topic right now, but those are characteristics of the Nephilim.
Yeah. Yeah, there. 100%.
I said it.
we're going to break into it. That was my cue.
But listen, look, the founders and citizens of America have always been committed to Christian ideals.
Okay? Yeah.
They were grateful to God for his guidance and set out to create a better nation, one that was built on biblical principles. And America has always stood as an example of faith, hard work, and optimism.
Yeah.
And yes, I agree with you that all these entities are trying to reclaim their territory. And it feels, and we know because we can discern what's happening to our nation, that they are trying to come back, that they are trying to overtake us, that they are trying. But this is why we need strong leadership. We need someone in the White House. It's a seat of power, okay? We need someone in the White House that is able to say, no.
Come on.
It's wrong. It's bizarre, and we're not going to go there. And no, we're not going to pack the Supreme Court with all kinds of liberals because we know that that's an assignment for life. And so that we can continue with the lawlessness, with the woke policies, destroying our children, destroying our youth. If you grab a hold of the youngest generation, that's it. We're done. And the media has had a huge role in deceiving America for a long time, leading us to believe that the entire nation was in agreement with their woke policies. And that's why I kept telling my husband, Matthew, on election night, I was like, oh my goodness, we're not alone.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I was proud. I was proud because I saw that the people of America were saying, we've had enough. You're driving us crazy. You're trying to destroy our children. You have no authority over my children. They belong to me.
Come on.
So, you know, passing all these laws that make the illegal legal so that they can appease their own conscience, like I said before, you know, no. No. And that's what happened on election night. We said America spoke and America said no.
Wow.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I was so proud.
I think that's what's so amazing is it hit me and it was like, it is like, we're not alone. This is, they're calling it the mandate of the people. And it's like, what it is in this election, it wasn't just some policy debate. It wasn't just, oh, well, I prefer the government to be bigger, smaller. And that's a part of it. But what it was is, I don't like unrighteousness. I don't like lawlessness. I don't like people sleeping on the side of the street. They're not interested in finding a job, or criminals, people that came in and are violent criminals. And another country in South America sent them up here because they didn't want to put them in their prisons.
That's right.
Like, that's unrighteous. It's not about a lack of compassion. It's about a lack of a standard. And, you know, we're supposed, just like a man is supposed to take care of his family, you can't let your own children go hungry just to take care of everybody else in the world. God would be displeased by that. You've got to take care of your children first.
That's
and that's
right.
Why there's an order and a structure in a nation. It's righteousness. So it's like we saw clearly, yeah, most people in America think this stuff going on is insanity, think the wokeism is insanity.
Yeah, and I think we've all seen the devastation of this past administration, politically speaking, internationally speaking, socially speaking, economically speaking. I mean, yeah. Where I live in Miami, the housing market has gone mad.
Wow.
And people cannot afford to rent
Wow.
or buy a house. You go to the grocery store and you can tell that people are not buying what they used to buy anymore. They're living on their whatever is sustaining them to the bare minimum because we cannot afford to buy the things that we used to be able to get. So this issue with immigration, you know, it's so dangerous what's been happening and what they have allowed to happen because of their lack of leadership and lack of patriotism.
Wow.
Okay. I think it's a shame that we granted them 4 years. We have to get to the point where we say no more.
Yeah.
We gave you an opportunity and you really did not measure up to what our standards are.
Yeah.
And I think again, America woke up. I remember telling my husband, I think what happened to Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania was a strategic move. It was like Pennsylvania was a key state, right? A swing state. And they kept saying, all the political analysts kept saying, whoever wins Pennsylvania won the election. And I'm like, oh my, what's going to happen with Pennsylvania? And the Lord made it very clear. This is the guy that I'm endorsing. He's not perfect. He is definitely not our savior. America has a savior. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Messiah, Mashiach, right? However, this is the man that I've appointed at this point in time in our history to lead the nation. Only the Lord knows what's to come in America in the next four years, that we need someone with a strong character and a strong hand, not a politician. He's not afraid of saying no.
Yep.
And I love that.
Yep. Can't get your way.
That's
what it's supposed to be. That's what leaders are supposed to do, is stand up for righteousness. You know, King David, that's the thing. He's not a perfect man. You look at his life and he's made many, many mistakes. He's sinned. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is the Bible also says God hates cowardice. Yep. And we have had cowardice leading the nation when there was a clear moral decision to make. And they would rather go with what pleases people, just like Saul. David didn't want to please the people. He wanted to please the Lord. And I believe that Trump does fear the Lord.
I agree.
His mother was a very godly, spirit-filled Christian woman. She watched a lot of TV preachers, and she was an immense influence in his life. And I think he kept a fear of God because of that. He knew God's real, and God is involved in our life. So I'm optimistic that the Lord, if we will seek his face, like you said, and if we'll heed that he's given us time to be effective, if we'll use it, then God's going to bless it.
I agree with that. You asked me when we were preparing for this podcast, where do I see America, prophetically speaking? And to begin with, I believe that the Lord heard America's cry, and he went to battle for our future. I saw the red wave, and I keep talking about this. America has been on their knees, but we didn't know. We couldn't see that. We couldn't tell where the heart of America was. And this is why we cannot fall for the lies or the snares of the enemy, because he is a defeated foe.
Hallelujah.
And we proved it. The proof is in the pudding, Matthew.
Hallelujah. And,
you know, I'm so proud to be an American. I think we got to the threshold. We need to make sure that we continue to pray till January 6th, right?
Yes.
But what happens after that? We cannot lower our guard because we were given a reprieve. We need to continue praying,
yes,
engaging in spiritual warfare. America is needed in the end times. And we have always known that we have a heart for the missions. We are, I want to say that we're the number one nation that sends missionaries out to the field, right?
Yes.
We have a heart for evangelism. We have a heart for preaching the gospel. Many people have said that America is nowhere in Bible prophecy. Have you heard that?
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes. I don't know if it's true, but.
Well, I'll tell you what my take is. A lot of them have preached a lot of gloom and doom. Maybe we'll be destroyed, but I'm gonna dare say that an intercessor is not someone that stands in the forefront of the battlefield, but rather it stays in the back, kind of hidden but active. And that's how I envision America when I think about the prophetic implications of everything that's going on. I see America interceding. I see America sending out missionaries. I see America praying for the Middle East, praying for peace, praying for the return of the Lord, praying for revival, for people, for those souls, for the soul of America, for the souls of the people that are in our nation to come to the Lord and acknowledge his kingship. I see a nation of patriot warriors. That's what I saw on Election Day. Like the sons of Issachar, they knew when to kneel before the Lord, and they also knew when to stand and push back with all their might.
Wow.
And that's what I see. I see the Lord doing great and mighty things through America, but we need to stay together. We need to stay focused, and we need to allow him to have our heart.
Amen.
I'm currently doing a series on the seven churches of Revelation, and the thread throughout all the seven churches is repent. Repent. We were given a reprieve. We were given a period of time, and we need to take advantage of that. We need to let the Lord know you didn't make a mistake.
Yeah.
We're going to stand by what you did. He gave us the victory.
Yeah.
He gave us the victory. And for that, we give him glory. It was the Lord that united us. It was the Lord that entrusted us with the prayer and the supplication that came before him. Like I said, we knelt before him and then we stood up and went to vote. I'm proud of America.
Yeah, I agree. there's something that's come to my spirit while we've talked about this, and I think that it may be a type of warning. And from the beginning in America, one of the biggest things, though we were a nation, we've always been a nation that's put God at the forefront and the Bible at the forefront. The whole thing about, okay, well, some of the founding fathers had deism and some were evangelical Christians or or Protestants, high Protestant Christians that prayed. To me, that's when you look at what it just is practically, that is, there were those that believe in God, but don't see God necessarily in an active role with the Holy Spirit in their life. And there are those that do believe in God and pray daily, asking God to intervene in their life. And God, please help us. And we live by miracles every day. And I remember hearing about this. I can't remember the name of the council. I've tried to find it. But there was a revival that happened in Wales, in Great Britain. And it was a spiritual outpouring. So God began to move in churches. People were crying out. The Spirit of God was in it reformed the legal system in Wales. And by that, I mean, people began to repent of sins. Crime went down through the floor. And it was such a shocking thing to the nation. It was a huge movement in the nation. This is in the early 1900s, very early. It began to spread throughout Europe. When it made it to Germany, there was a council of Protestants that were held, and they declared this was a demonic counterfeit. After this happened, the Nazi Party gained power. So I believe what I'm trying to say is I think where when it comes to Christian nations, those that have already heard the gospel and walk with God, just like ancient Israel, whenever these spirits begin to rise up, it doesn't come outright as paganism. It presents itself as, well, God is good, but let's not involve him too closely in our lives. And in Thessalonians, Paul warned, he said, it's not hatred of the truth that gives people over to deception. It says, those that love not the truth, that don't love the truth, God gives them over to deception. I think in this nation, the church has cried out to God, God's turned it. But I think the biggest thing that in this, see, this is my opinion, you could tell me what you think, but in this season, we have to pray that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on the church, that the church will really get in the prayer closet, that we will walk in power and authority so that people will see we serve a living God and that God is involved in our day-to-day life. That's one thing I did see in the Trump campaign, is that there was this sense of we're going to cry out to God and God's going to intervene in this life, in this world. We're going to see changes. There's a momentum we have in the spirit right now, and it's around the intervention of God, that God's alive, God's living. And I think it's in this environment we're ripe for revival.
I agree. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about Israel and what happened to Israel because they did not receive the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says that the letter kills and the Spirit vivifies. Yeah. Correct?
Hallelujah.
So we can have the Word. We can be God-fearing Christians. We can read the Word of God. But without the Spirit of God active in our lives, honestly, we have no power. What did Jesus say in the book of Acts? You need to wait. Do not leave Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You need to wait for the promise of the Father, which we see in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. He said that there was an outpouring coming, and with that outpouring, it was for children, for the elderly, for men, for women. We're still fighting as to whether a woman should preach or not. And what the Lord is saying, we need to look at Scripture and just receive it as is. Okay? The Lord in Joel 2:28 is very clear. I'm going to have an outpouring of my spirit, and I am going to need everyone to participate. The children, the young generations, the elderly, who may be thinking, well, I am no longer good. I have nothing to offer society. I'm just going to retreat and go to die somewhere. No, the Lord is saying, I'm going to need the wisdom the experience and the counsel of the elderly.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to need men. I'm going to need women. I'm going to need all of you to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit so that you can serve me in this latter days. These are days in which we need to be at our very best. And I cannot do anything apart from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Apart from His Spirit. I need His indwelling. I need for Him to teach me, to illuminate me. I need for Him to guide me. I need for Him to speak to me and tell me, yes, no, stay quiet. Don't say anything. That heart is not ready for what you have to say. You know what I'm saying? It's like a partnership. And we need to remember what happened in the book of Acts right before Jesus went up to heaven. He said, someone that is better than me needs to come down. You don't need me here anymore. I already took care of my part of the deal. You need the one that's going to come. The Father is going to send the Spirit, and He is going to vivify you, and He's going to indwell you, and He's going to propel you and give you the power that you need to serve me. And trust me with everything. I mean, let's just look 5 years back. 5 years ago, all these things that are going on, the hybrid race, the cryptocurrency, the, you name it, the AI explosion, the Nephilim, the UFOs. Oh, I just said a bad word. I'm sorry. But all these things were in the back burner and nobody was really talking about it. And this is how I explain it to the church. Daniel was given a prophetic vision. And the Lord said, seal the vision. You have no clue what you're writing about. You don't understand what you're seeing right now. It's for a much later date. Seal the vision, Daniel. But then he tells John in Patmos, he says, open it.
Yeah.
Let everyone know, because the time had come. And with the time comes understanding. We are understanding what the Word of God was talking about back in Daniel with the book of Revelation, because the time has come. And now is when we are able to understand all these weirdness that's moving around us.
Absolutely.
But we need the Spirit of God for that.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, Trump has mentioned when he got in, he would unveil, he would release the JFK assassination files and the U.S. I think he hinted at releasing UFO information if it was out there, but hidden CIA files. He said, I'm going to start to like just release them, declassify.
I'm halfway through reading the entire document of the disclosure that they have before Congress. And one of the men, I have it close by, talks about Donald Trump. He had a podcast interview with one of his children. I think it was Eric. And he tells him, and it's, and I quote, he tells his son, I am not going to tell you, but there's a lot of things that I know about UFOs that I'm not going to release it right away.
Wow.
So there's something going on with all of that.
Yeah.
And we cannot bury our heads in the sand. Do you know why? Because the church is the one that has the answers.
Yeah, that's
right. The church is the one that's anointed. The church is the one that's being guided by the Holy Spirit. We should be able to have this conversation without the weirdness.
Yes.
And just bring the awareness. We live in a multidimensional world.
Absolutely. Jesus said, I have more to tell you, but you couldn't bear it. I can't tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing, you know, little sparks here and there of things that are coming down the pike. And my burden has been to get the church ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want people to know that we are not to be afraid of whatever may be happening out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have the Lord. He is our strength. He's our refuge. He's our shield. And we know the truth of everything that's coming down the pike. I'm not afraid. I'm concerned about the people that don't know, you know, with regards to the UFOs and all these things that are going on.
Yeah.
We need answers. And guess where the answer is? In the Word of God.
In the Word of God. Absolutely. I believe that one of the big things that God has to let us be, one of the ways God has to prepare us is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's why it's so important we have these conversations. Because when the devil comes in your face, you got to be able to cast him out.
That's
and
right.
And what we're dealing with through these manifestations, I'll call UFOs that, manifestations, most of the time, people who have encounters with these things have the same psychological, have the same kind of signs that someone that has a paranormal or demonic experience has.
That's right.
They get sick, they're overcome with fear, but, or there's a euphoria that sends, that downloads weird ideas. Those are more the new age people that are opening themselves up to mm-hmm. these weird encounters. But mm-hmm. those that are caught by surprise have fear. And it, I believe it is something otherworldly. And I've done some study into legends, but the funny thing about the Bible, even when it comes to the devil, we have a lot of theology that's been formed over 2,000 years of Christians studying the Word of God. But the Bible never says, well, the devil was an angel and he was one of the leading angels. And then he rebelled against God and God cast him down. And we know what the theology is, but it's because we had to study scripture. And in the prophecies, you have over here, the king of Tyre, you know, you have passages from Ezekiel, Isaiah, and the king of Tyre, suddenly he's talking this arrogant boast against the Lord, but then something speaks through him and God begins to speak to that thing operating through him and says, you are the anointed cherub that covered, you are the greatest of the heavenly host, but now I'm going to throw you down like a man. And so God's speaking to this human king, but he's speaking to something behind him. Just mm-hmm. like when Jesus said, I rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you. He said to Peter, Satan, yeah. get behind me. So he's speaking through a principality that's behind these rulers.
That's
and
right.
I think that in Genesis 6, you have this quick statement made about a very mysterious subject. And I'll tell you why I think that is, Pastor Marcia. Every culture around the world has this, well, most, I'll say the majority of ancient cultures have a flood narrative, talk
All
about gods that come down from the heavens or from under the earth. There's mm-hmm. two different versions, mm-hmm. and they emerge and begin to teach men wisdom or skill, secret knowledge. And then these gods disappear, but they leave behind their children with humanity. They had children with humanity, and these are these demigods that remain and operate as rulers over men. And that bloodline for many cultures continues, they claim, through their royalty. Like in mm-hmm. Egypt, that's why mm-hmm. they treated him as divinity. Even in Rome, they had a vestige of that. They treated the emperor as a divine god, a mm-hmm. representative of the gods. So all these cultures talked about these beings. And I think that's why God in the Bible says, that's all I got to say about it. Is because, first of all, the children of Israel knew about it because that's what God saved them from. Those were that's the cultures right. that were pagan that God said, there are no gods but the Lord. Don't
that's
have
right.
their images in front of you. Don't think about them. I just
that's
want you
right.
to leave them behind and trust me. Because God
that's
was,
right.
but he hints at them, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And I think it's time. The time has come for us to have this conversation as a church. There's a lot of skepticism. There's a lot of people saying, you know, I don't see that in the Bible. It's a stigma. But the church, this is the time. Just like the Lord said to Daniel, seal the vision. But to John, hey, open the vision. This is a time for the church to have this conversation. And I'll
yeah.
tell you why. Rick Renner, and I think I mentioned this to you before, who's a tremendous theologian, he went to Noah's Ark and comes back and writes this amazing book where he talks about the meaning, the deeper meaning of Matthew 24. If you're a serious Christian, you know Matthew 24 is where the Lord talks about the end times and what's going to happen and all those things. But Rick Renner takes it a step further and he talks about the world before the flood. What was happening? Go back to the book of Joshua. And,
mm-hmm.
and just last night, I was talking about this with our congregation. You read the accounts on Joshua and you don't realize that this man, Israel, is fighting against tribes of giants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been in the background. It's been silent.
Yeah,
nobody's talked about this for forever.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? We need to get to the bottom of this. And Rick Renner has done a tremendous job with his book. He explains what the world was like before. And we all know that everything is full circle. Everything is coming back full circle. The way it was, well, Jesus said it, as in the days of Noah. And why, let me ask you, why did the Lord send a flood?
Yeah, there you go.
He needed to destroy all those hybrids, all those entities that were destroying the earth, and he could not deal with it anymore. You know, we force the Lord's hand a lot of times.
Yeah.
He is not a God of destruction.
Yeah.
He's a God of love. He's a God of opportunities, of you know, forgiveness. But we force his hand a lot of times. And I think that's what happened back then. The Lord said, I can't do this anymore. He found Noah. He didn't have the Nephilim DNA.
Yeah, he was pure in his generation, perfect in his generation.
Exactly. Yeah. That doesn't mean he was sinless.
Yeah.
That means that his DNA was not contaminated. And the Lord placed him in the ark, tells him, come up, come.
Yeah.
Come. Look at that. It's symbolic. It's like a rapture parallel, right?
Yeah.
Come up to the ark. It's like, I'm already in here. You need to come into the ark now. And he spared this one family and destroyed everything else because the world was in a chaotic state.
Yeah.
And it feels to me like we're coming full circle. Technologies, moving at an incredible speed, and it's all going to get to the point where we're going to get to Armageddon.
Yeah,
with the hybrid races and all these entities that are coming up from the abyss.
Yeah,
and we know who these entities are because the Word of God teaches us. We just need sound doctrine.
Yeah, sound doctrine. I think, we talk about the things that pre-existed in the past, things in the past. It's crazy because my father-in-law, his family, his last name's DeMarcus, but his family came from Sardinia, which is an island right off of Italy. It's like there's Sicily right here and there's Sardinia over here on the other side of Italy. And in the legends of Sardinia, not everybody's just a super tall person there. Like everybody's kind of like a little bit shorter. So a lot of the men are there, a lot of the women. It's kind of like, you know, that's common in the world. But they have a story. The reason I mention it is they have a story of giants that used to live on Sardinia, that there was a race of giants. They had to drive them out. They weren't good. They were not good. And so there's been theories like when God, especially King David, drove out the giants from the land, where did they flee to? And it's very possible they fleed across the Mediterranean. There are stories even of certain groups of DNA groups of people from the Middle East traveling down the side of Spain, going north, even all the way to Ireland. Funny enough, the Druid religion in Ireland believes there was a race of giants that were their gods. They worshiped them as gods. And fun fact about the Irish language, it functions dissimilarly from European languages. It has more in common in its structure with Hebrew and Arabic than other.
That.
Oh, crazy. Wow. And there are indications that there were groups from the Middle East that went all across the world. The Native Americans, I'll quote some from, I believe it's On the Path of the Immortals that Chris Putnam and Tom Horn both wrote, and True Legends that Steve Quayle wrote. So the Native Americans all said when they got here in America, there were signs. Some of them said there were still giants here. But when they got here, they said there was signs of an ancient advanced civilization of giants.
Wow.
The Aztecs talked about it. They said these structures were here before we got here.
Look at all the monuments they have.
Yeah. All the monuments. And even in America, in Ohio, you can find the serpent mounds, and the government doesn't allow anybody to dig those up. But the Smithsonian, there are people before the Smithsonian took them that have records saying giant bones are buried in those mounds. And then when they were taken out, the Smithsonian came in the early 1900s, confiscated them all. Got rid of them. So
I see you've read Tom Horn.
Yeah, I have. So what's going on? That's the question. What is that all about? Well, even, and this was in True Legends, but even Abraham Lincoln, when he was writing, I think it was poetry about how beautiful Niagara Falls was, he mentioned about these giant bones that were found, that there was a tribes of giants that were in the land before the Native Americans. And he did it really quickly. He just mentioned it and moved on. People in America used to know there was an ancient civilization here and that they're gone now. They got wiped out somehow.
Yeah.
So I think that there are things that haven't been uncovered yet. I think they've been covered up. I think there's been a deception that's been going on in the world and that mm-hmm. it's possible the church may find out about a lot of things, but we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for disclosures that will happen about information.
Yeah, I think this is why the Lord is bringing or allowing all these revelation to come forth at this time. We really need to be ready. I believe something's bound to happen sooner rather than later. That's going to change everything.
Wow.
There's different schools of thought when it comes to the great deception. Nobody can agree on what that means and what exactly is going to bring that about.
Yeah.
But I personally think that if something weird was to manifest and come from, from another dimension,
mm-hmm.
that the church would be affected the most.
Mm.
Because you cannot reconcile seeing something supernatural like that with the kind of faith that we've been taught.
Mm.
We are taught to have faith for this physical world, when it comes to illnesses and when we have problems, when we need a job, who we're going to marry, this and that and the other, day-to-day faith. But we have not been properly taught. And correct me if you think I'm wrong, but being a pastor for over 23 or 24 years now, I've heard other people and they have no clue. They don't understand the supernatural side of the Bible, the Word of God, what happened between Genesis 1 and 1-1 and 1 and 2. 1-1 and 2. Did I get that right? Yes.
Yeah.
Who are the Nephilim? Why are we talking about these beings now? What's going on with the UFOs, with all these, the orbs, the entities that are coming from under the ocean? I mean, these are not regular, everyday people that are coming forth with this information. These are high-ranking military officials, admirals. These are people that have 2 and 3 doctorates that have... Yeah. Testimonies, proven records of their faithfulness to the country. And they're talking about all these things. And with the disclosure session that we just had last week, a lot of them said that they feared for their lives, that they were harassed.
Oh, my word, really?
You should read that. You should read that document. Gosh. It's a scary thing. There's something really terrible and dangerous going on with all these things. And the church needs to have this conversation openly. We cannot have taboos. We need to know. We need answers so that nothing takes us by surprise and then comes to destroy my faith. Because if there's ETs out there, then did God create them?
Yeah.
Is God the only creator?
Yeah.
Or do we believe in evolution? They evolved.
Mm-hmm.
They're it's a very highly evolved race of beings from another galaxy.
Yeah.
Where does that leave our God, our creator? So evolution or creation? And I think it's going to do a lot of harm. And therefore, we need to be able to put our finger in it and say, this is what this is. And this is what the Word of God says about it. And there's plenty that the Word says.
Absolutely. I believe God is putting he's seeding the knowledge in people that are figures of influence. What do I mean by that? So, we've got a guy named Dr. Charles Ruark who works with ISO, and I've had so many funny conversations with him, but one of the things he mentioned is there's no evidence of alien life. And we've got like outside the world. He said outside the earth. When we NASA's looked into it, we just don't see crafts flying around out in space. And then I was like, ah, so you don't believe in UFOs? He said, I didn't say that. He said, the thing is there's a difference between seeing these things on Earth and seeing them out in space. And then I hear Tucker Carlson, who comes on, and he says, I've done research into this. And he repeats what Ruar said to me firstly. He says, there's no evidence of these things coming from out in space. He says, I believe they're evil. I believe they're demonic. I believe they're coming from within the Earth, under the Earth. I could tell you a crazy story real quick if you let me.
Oh, please do.
I did this in my own research. This wasn't a book I read. I don't like getting into this stuff because to me, this is like demonology, but I believe God has authority over it. And I'll mention it so that believers may know. Because if there is something that tries to manifest itself and claim to be an alien or something weird, we have to know there's history throughout all these religions that God overcame through the gospel. They knew in their belief system that there was a history of these false gods manifesting. That's why Paul said, when you go to those temples where they sacrifice meat, that's the altar of demons. He said, those gods are demons.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about? Well, there were a thing in many cultures. They call it, if you look it up, if it freaks you out, don't look it up. I'll say that to anybody watching. But it's called the seven sages or the seven wise ones. Mm-hmm. And there's a tradition throughout cultures and in the Sumerian, Babylonian, and that Akkadian tradition. They all have pretty much the same tradition, but different names. They call them the Apkallu.
And yes.
It's very bizarre because there's different renditions or manifestations of these things in their histories. But the Apkallu originally, they called them fish men because they say they came out of the deep and they had these fish armor or outfits on. You can look it up. I'll put up a picture. I've read about it. Well, they say they came and taught human beings society and arts and technology, and they would come to teach them skills. But there are other renditions of these beings where they don't come from the ocean. They come from the sky, and they call them like these gods. Mm-hmm. And there's very bizarre things that are across cultures around the world, symbols that reoccur, like a little handbag thing that these beings carry. I don't know what that is. This is what's crazy to me, even rosary beads.
Yeah.
They'll carry prayer beads, which I think is interesting since Hindus, some Muslims, and like Orthodox and Catholics use prayer beads.
Neither do I.
I think that's super interesting. Don't know why it is. But what I mention all that for is these beings were what people had before they had the Lord God. And they're going to, I think it's possible. This is me having some agreement here with Pastor Marsha. I think it's possible there may be some type of reemergence of these things because I think this is what it is. I'll say this real quick as I know we're headed towards closing here. But I believe in America with the separation of church and state, the reason I mentioned deism and people that call themselves Christians but not believing in the power of God is there is a division so many believers have between the natural and the spiritual. And God, when he created the world first, there was no division. But to protect Adam and Eve, he created a division because they couldn't take it anymore after they fell. Mm-hmm. And Christians, because we are covered in the blood of Jesus and we're a new creation, we are stepping back in to like the Word became flesh, to that section where the spiritual and the physical meet. So we have the illegitimate. There's a demonic counterfeit where the spiritual and the physical are trying to meet. I think that's what these UFO manifestations are. I think that's what these ancient beings are. But when God comes in, it's called faith. That's where the spiritual meets the physical. Faith. Amen. And when we walk in faith, I think communion's a great example of this. I know that the Eastern Orthodox and the Catholic Church, they both have something they call the real presence, which is when you say, this is my body, this is my blood, they believe a spiritual transfer. Jesus is in your midst when you're doing this. And Lutherans believe that. But I believe the idea behind it, there's truth to that. There's some truth because Jesus said, he said, this is my body. If you eat of this, you have everlasting life. But the truth is when you approach God in faith and when you actually read the Bible, and when you live it out, Just like when you take communion and you believe the presence of Jesus is here, when two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. This is when God begins to manifest that spoken word of God into reality. And Amen. I think it's that faith that combats whenever these demonic things try to take authority and emerge. Because I'll tell you this, and you can tell me what you think. I think in Africa, before the gospel was preached, before the movement of Reinhard Bonnke came, and all of Africa was washed in the blood of Jesus, these spirits openly tormented people. Manifestations openly happened. And Western people were too scared to try to explain it.
Yep.
But when authority came, those things were driven out of Africa.
I think what's happening is that the rapture is close. It's almost here. And they're trying to create a narrative to explain to the world where all these people, these abductees, were taken out of the earth because we don't fit into their social standing or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I think they're preparing the world for that.
Yeah.
They're creating this narrative of, we are going to take out all the people that don't believe
Christians.
Us, all the bad, the weeds.
Yeah. I thought they had it for a little bit. I thought they had it. And then this election happened. And I feel like there's a war going on.
That's right.
When the times are going to be full, you know?
That's right. That's right. This is why the church is so critical at this point in time. We need to understand all these things and talk about it openly. It may be a stigma, you know, it may be strange to talk about it, but it's everywhere, Matthew. This is the number one topic of conversation on social media, on the Discovery Channel. It's everywhere. And I think that Rick Renner's book, which is a tremendous book, I purchased it, and I'm almost done with it. It's so important because he takes away all that stigma and all the nonsense. And he says, this is what the Word of God says. Jesus said, in the end times, it would be as in the days of Noah. And during the days of Noah, there were the Nephilim, which are the sons of God. And the Nephilim had children. And that's how the other tribes of giants came about. The Anakim, the Zumzimim, all the Eames that you want to talk about. But they were on the earth. The giants were destroying everything. And the Lord had to take measures to preserve a family because we knew that we needed the Messiah to come to earth through a human vessel. That's the ultimate goal for the preservation of Noah's family. They needed to come back after the flood and procreate again because the Lord had a plan.
You know, you saying that, now I know some people get freaked out by it, but in Daniel, the bottom of the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of all the world empires until Messiah would come back and crush the statue, all the world empires, at the very bottom, when it goes to the legs of iron, which to me, I think we may, some people disagree with this, I'm wondering if we're still in the legs of iron stage. I don't know. But it's because we have such a clear Eastern-Western global divide. But the part of the feet, where it goes into the toes, 10 different toes, but the feet are iron and clay mixed together. And Daniel makes a very mysterious statement. He talks about the Anashim, humanity, man, and Adam, and he keeps on talking about humanity. And then he says, but then something different, their seed will mingle with man's seed in this era of the global empire. And I'm wondering if we're about to enter a season. If there is a reemergence of this whole Noah's flood day thing, Jesus, when he comes back during his 1,000-year reign, Christians are in a glorified body, but the Jewish people and those that resisted the Antichrist that are still alive and aren't judged, they're going to repopulate the earth.
Yes.
So that is so similar to Noah's flood. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
I wonder if from what you're saying, that there's that idea of God coming back like the flood. Because Peter said there's one judgment by, actually, I think maybe Enoch, who talked about a judgment by water and then a judgment by fire.
By fire.
And Peter said the elements will be cleansed with fire.
Yes.
And I wonder if this judgment's going to happen to where Christ comes back and he wipes out, I don't know. Do you think the mark of the beast is hinting to a new kind of defilement of the human DNA, or what do you think?
100%.
Wow.
Why do I say that? Because the Lord is very clear, and he says, if you take the mark, you cannot be saved.
Wow.
Something in your DNA is going to change, and it will prevent you from repenting. Yeah.
Alter the image of God. Wow.
You will not be able to repent. And without repentance, there's no entrance into the kingdom of God. So, yes, he's trying another one of his tricks. He's everything. He is the prince. He's the prince of the air right now.
Yeah.
He still has authority over the earth, yeah. Right? So his agenda is moving along, and the Lord is just allowing him to do whatever he needs to do. There's a plan in place. Mm-hmm. And he's just advancing his agenda because he knows that the time is drawing near. He's moving very fast with the orbs and the UFOs and all of that, with the ETs, the extraterrestrials, because he's working on what's going to be said once we are raptured. Okay. Wow. But he's going to try to defile our DNA through the hybrid race. They're talking already about having some kind of an implant, a brain implant, that's going to allow you. Let me see if I remember. It will allow you. Huh?
The Neuralink? Neuralink?
I didn't want to say the name.
We can bleep it out, but the Neuralink, yeah.
Bleep it out.
Yeah.
But someone was saying to me that this link or this thing that they're going to implant in our brain, not our brain. In the whoever allows it to be implanted,
because
I'm not going to go for that.
Nope.
they'll be able to blink, or they'll be able to think, and the phone, for example, you're going to be linked to a computer, to the phone, to the TV. You're not going to have a remote anymore in your hand, which will be very shocking to most men in America.
remote brain.
It's advancing in ways that is just incredible.
Yeah. Scary to those that don't know the Lord. Yeah,
that's right. There's a plan behind, just like the Lord had a plan with Noah. Mm-hmm. And he said, I need to preserve one family so that they can reproduce again and I can bring Messiah. This is the same thing. They're trying to destroy our DNA so that we cannot come to the Lord.
Wow.
If you take the mark of the beast, which to this day, we don't know 100%. What that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny that you would mention, I don't know how much time we have.
Oh, I think we got to wrap up the next few moments, but go ahead.
Okay. When you were talking about the 10 toes in Daniel's statue, I just did a teaching, an ISO teaching on that. It's clay and iron, and it talks about democracy and the Islam.
Wow. Islamic. Okay. Yeah.
And Islam is going to be the predominant religion on the earth in the end times.
Wow.
And we are also seeing, I'm keeping a close eye on that, because we are seeing a huge movement, even in our country through the borders. There's a lot of Muslims coming into our nation, and they have been positioned all over the earth, you know, in a strategic manner. So all these things are happening all at once. And for those of us that are looking at scripture and trying to figure out where we're at, it's like everything is happening all at once.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, it is.
I hope.
but I believe that's because the Lord Jesus will return soon.
Yeah.
And we're still drawing near. I think a reprieve may indicate it may not be as near as some may have thought, but we don't know, because we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know. We can't tell the Lord when he's going to come back. But I will say this, this is an opportunity for the name of Jesus to be lifted up, for Christians to walk in authority and begin to pursue what is righteous. So I just wanted to say this has been an incredible episode for those of you watching. I hope it's been educational and you've heard some things you may not have heard before, some very interesting things. But now you know. And don't be deceived. Don't be caught by surprise, because God has already told us the truth. So I wanted to encourage you today. And thank you, Pastor Marcia, for coming on ISO Insights. This has been amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, check out Enfoque with Pastor Marcia if you speak Espanol, and have a great day. We'll catch you next time on ISO Insights.